Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU.
This week, US politicians want TikTok to sell up or be banned. Welcome to Setlist, the music business podcast from CMU. I'm Andy Malt, and with me is Chris Cook. Hello, Chris. That went weird. Hello, Chris.
Hello there. What a good start. Hello, everybody.
I'm not re-recording it. We've already had to start this about 12 times.
It's going well today, everybody. This is going to be a good edition of Setlist if the 87 hours we've spent getting to this point on the recording is anything to go by.
Anyway, on this week's show, new legislation in the US aiming to force TikTok owner ByteDance to sell the video sharing platform or face a ban in the country. The UK Labour Party's commitment to restrict the resale of tickets for live music events if they win the upcoming general election, and more. But first, Chris, tell me something else that stood out for you in the music industry this week.
Well, I guess another story we should briefly mention is the brewing battle, potential battle, actual battle. We did illustrate it at one point on the CMU website with a picture of two people boxing. So I think we're declaring it to be a battle between Warner Music and Believe over the ownership of Believe. So that's a bit confusing already, isn't it? Believe, of course, a big independent distributor and label and artist services business. One of the biggest, I would guess, in that space. Currently publicly listed on the French Stock Exchange. But recently, the founder and CEO of Believe announced that he and his financial backers were planning to take the company back into private ownership. There are various reasons why that's actually quite a good idea at the moment. So that was all announced, and an offer was going to be made to Believe's existing shareholders, who are not part of that consortium, to buy up the shares. But then Warner Music stepped forward and announced that it was thinking about making an offer to buy Believe. So I think we mentioned that much on last week's set list, but there have been various developments in the last 7 days. Believe have put out a statement. Warner have put out a statement. Believe also have their quarterly financial updates for their investors this week. So there was an opportunity to ask questions about the whole thing. So that's very much an ongoing story, potentially a very interesting and entertaining for those of us on the sidelines. Hostile takeover incoming, but it's all quite complicated because it's all to do with who has what assets. Also a little bit of French law involved here in terms of the regulation of companies listed on the Paris Stock Exchange. So we thought we won't go into all of that on the podcast, but if you are interested in what's happening there, our colleague Sam has been following that story very closely, and we will link to his coverage on the CMU website. You should go and check it out. It may be that at some point quite soon, Warner just say, actually, do you know what? We don't want to buy Believe, or this could become a running story that we come back to on Setlist. We shall see, but not this week.
No, later on we'll be talking through some more of this week's most interesting music industry news stories, including Neil Young's return to Spotify as he ends his boycott in protest at the company's involvement with Joe Rogan. But first, the US House of Representatives has voted in favour of a law called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act that would force TikTok's China-based owner ByteDance to sell the video-sharing platform or face a ban in the country. The act would give ByteDance 6 months to sell TikTok before any ban of the app went into force, and the proposals, although passed by the lower house this week, still need to be backed by the US Senate and then signed into law by President Joe Biden, although he has already said, if they pass it, I'll sign it. ByteDance is, I guess unsurprisingly, not keen on any of this and doesn't think that it should have to sell TikTok at all. Certainly sees selling TikTok as a last resort action that would come after fighting these proposals both in the Senate and, if necessary, the courts as well. The fight will centre on whether or not banning TikTok over national security concerns violates the free speech protections provided by the First Amendment of the US Constitution. And if it does, then the act, despite being passed by the lower house already, will be deemed unconstitutional.
Now, supporters of this act insist that it has been very cleverly worded in a way that circumvents any First Amendment issues. But it has to be said, it is not just TikTok who is arguing otherwise. Plenty of free speech campaigners and legal experts have said that the TikTok ban should be blocked either as it passes through the Senate or at the very least in the American courts on First Amendment grounds. Indeed, ahead of the vote on Wednesday this week in the House of Representatives, numerous campaign groups sent a letter to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, urging them to oppose the act. The groups, including the American Civil Liberties Union and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, said that passing this legislation would trample on the constitutional right to freedom of speech of millions of people in the United States. However, clearly, that letter did not work because, as we've already said, the House passed it by quite some margin. I actually ended up watching the vote. I've never watched a vote in the House of Representatives before. Have you?
No.
Unlike in the UK, where our MPs have to walk down a corridor, depending on how they're voting, I think how it works in the House of Representatives is they all have a little card that they have to jam into a machine and then they press a button and it counts their vote. But there isn't a machine for every member of the House of Representatives. I think there's like 20 of them and there's what, 450 members, something like that. So it takes a little while and the votes are being counted up. I must admit, I actually cheered when it reached the 290 votes. That's what it needed to go through. Because of the way the vote had been organised, they needed to get a two-thirds supermajority in order to get it through. The reason I cheered is not any judgment on TikTok, but I'd already written my article for the CMU Daily and I had assumed that it was passed. So had it not been passed, my article was going to require quite a big rewrite. So on that reason alone, I was quite happy when members of the House of Representatives, Democrats and Republicans, ignored this letter, which I have to say did have some legitimate concerns, but they ignored it and they passed it.
Yeah, and one of the things that possibly convinced them to pass it was TikTok's own attempt at raising support to vote it down, which did backfire somewhat. Although TikTok denied this, it was accused of forcing some of its US users to call their representatives in Congress about the proposed new law and demand that they vote it down. TikTok insists that although it sent out notifications encouraging people to call their representatives, no one was forced to do so, although some representatives have said they were called by angry people who said that they weren't allowed to use the app until they had called. So, I don't know, that didn't really help TikTok at all. Whether it swayed the vote, I don't know. It was a fairly resounding victory for the act, so I suspect that it would have gone that way anyway. But yeah, TikTok didn't help itself this week when trying to oppose this legislation.
Yeah, the BBC spoke to some of the representatives, or at least their offices, and they were all moaning about all these people phoning up. And I think it was partly because, well, yes, some of the people who'd phoned up said, I have to call you or it won't let me into the app. TikTok insists that there were two places that you could close the alert that American users were getting without actually making a phone call. So I think that was just some people not being very good at spotting the little, it can be hard sometimes, can't it, on your phone to find the little cross that closes those notifications. Also, there were reports that a lot of the people who phoned up their representatives said, I'm phoning you because TikTok told me to. I don't really know what I'm phoning about. So, while it can be good to rally your users, obviously, politicians, if they get lots of voters phoning them up, it can sway things in these kinds of campaigns. But yeah, it does feel like that one kind of backfired. Now, we know, because we've talked about it on Setlist, we've reported on it a lot in the CMU Daily, this is not the first attempt by politicians somewhere in the world to ban TikTok. It's not even the first attempt in the US. All of this, of course, is based on the concerns that because TikTok is owned by ByteDance, which is a China-based company, that the Chinese government has access through ByteDance to user data for TikTok users all over the world. It is something that TikTok has repeatedly denied, but that is the allegation. And there has been various exposés in the media of people in the ByteDance offices in China sometimes getting access to some of that data. But TikTok say even if that happened in the past, in certain very specific circumstances, it does not happen anymore. So that's the basic argument. In terms of past attempts to get TikTok banned, you may remember that Donald Trump, when he was US president, actually banned TikTok in that he issued an executive order that basically banned Americans from transacting with ByteDance or TikTok and ultimately said that TikTok could not be distributed to devices in the US. There was also the proposal that if ByteDance was to sell TikTok, at least the US TikTok business, that maybe it could circumvent that executive order. Meanwhile, in the US state of Montana, lawmakers there have already passed an act that bans the use of TikTok in that state. But both Trump's executive order and the law in Montana were stalled in the courts because of these First Amendment arguments. So it has to be said, fighting this through the courts on free speech grounds on the basis that whether it's an executive order from the president or it's a new law in a state legislature or in Congress in Washington, it doesn't matter. The First Amendment free speech protections mean that these bans are not allowed. It is unconstitutional. So yeah, it has happened before, and that will be the argument moving forward in the Senate and elsewhere as TikTok tries to stop this from happening.
But still, you might wonder if all this is just becoming such a hassle for ByteDance that it might be starting to think that just selling off TikTok and getting shot of it would be the easier option and maybe even the more attractive option. But you would be wrong, because according to sources who spoke to Bloomberg, selling off the app would be the absolute last resort in the whole process. Not least because getting rid of TikTok would require approval from the Chinese government, which has previously said it would firmly oppose any forced sale. So that would also be a really big hassle for ByteDance. Kind of, it's stuck in the middle of two governments, really, which, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem. And if TikTok wanted to be optimistic, it can still have hope that its ongoing work with the American software company Oracle called Project Texas will sway politicians' opinions in its favour. It started working with Oracle after Donald Trump's attempt to ban the app, and it basically puts in place data management systems that attempt to allay any data security concerns. And maybe if it continues that work, that could sway enough politicians to bring things back in its favour, so it doesn't have to have any of this hassle and it all just goes away and Americans can all carry on looking at videos without thinking. Just without thinking. No thinking.
No thinking at all. They can watch Joe Biden's videos on TikTok. I think he's recently joined TikTok, hasn't he? Despite backing this legislation to ban and stop it being used. So yeah, TikTok is continuing to work on this so-called Project Texas. Certainly TikTok CEO, whenever he's questioned by politicians and other critics in the US, likes to dwell on that work. But I have to say, I think if anything, it will be the First Amendment arguments that could stop the ban, maybe even in Senate. There are some reports that whereas in the House of Representatives, although there are a few critics to these proposals, most people are confident that the First Amendment concerns are not a problem, whereas there have been reports in the Senate that there are more senators who are concerned about the free speech side of this. Plus, even if it does get through Congress, it will almost certainly be fought in the courts. So I'm assuming for our American listeners that you ain't going to have to find another video sharing app anytime soon. Although I think this is going to run and run. Do you know what? I thought of another reason why I would quite like a TikTok ban to happen. Not just because I'm lazy. There's a little game I've started playing on my phone recently. Oh, yeah. And every so often ads play because I'm too tight to pay the pound a month or whatever it is to stop the ads from playing. And the main ad that plays is a really bad ad for TikTok. And A, why is TikTok still advertising? Surely everybody in the world is already using it. And it's such a bad ad. I'm sort of thinking that maybe YouTube put it in there to make TikTok look really bad. But I'm finding it really annoying. But I'm not willing to pay whatever this gaming company wants for me to not have ads. So yeah, if we could get TikTok shut down next week and I'd never have to see one of those ads again, maybe I could get behind that.
Coming up later, the Labour Party's pledge to introduce a price cap on secondary ticket sales. But before that, let's quickly look through some other stories from the music industry this week, starting with the EU AI Act, which was passed by the European Parliament this week. And according to various music industry trade groups who welcomed it, it provides tools for rights holders to enforce their rights. However, quite how useful these new AI regulations will be for music companies will depend on how they are implemented.
The South by Southwest Festival and Conference, which has been happening in Austin, Texas this week, has said that it respects but rejects criticism that has been made about its decision to allow the US Army and several defense companies to sponsor the event. As the music side of South by Southwest got underway at the start of the week, it was revealed that about 60 acts have pulled out of the festival in protest over those sponsorships, including the Irish hip-hop act Kneecap.
Neil Young has ended his Spotify boycott, which began over criticism of the Joe Rogan podcast. With that podcast now returning to other platforms, boycotting Spotify on its own as an anti-Rogan protest is, I guess, pointless. So Young's music is back, although he did use his announcement of that fact to have a go at Spotify over the lack of high-quality audio on the platform.
Yeah, we all know Neil Young's a big fan of high-quality audio. We also all know that Spotify still hasn't added that to its service, despite saying that it's gonna on a number of occasions. Elsewhere, a Bad Bunny fan who uploaded recordings of full songs for a recent US concert by the rapper to his YouTube channel has claimed that his videos on that YouTube channel constitute fair use under American copyright law and therefore can't be blocked by Bad Bunny's people. That has prompted Bad Bunny and his team to sue the YouTuber for copyright and trademark infringement.
Coldplay, Dua Lipa and SZA were announced as the headliners of this year's Glastonbury in June, but 21 other UK festivals have now announced that they will be cancelling or coming to an end in 2024. The Association of Independent Festivals said that that number could go above 100 if the government continues to ignore pleas for support. You can read more about all of these stories and everything discussed on this week's episode in the show notes or at completemusicupdate.com. And lastly, on this edition of Setlist, the UK Labour Party has pledged to introduce a price cap on secondary ticket sales if it wins the next general election. The announcement comes as two people connected to a former ticket touting operation were found guilty of fraudulent trading in Leeds Crown Court, a ruling which was dubbed by the promoter and manager of Ed Sheeran as good news for live music fans and an important precedent in the live entertainment industry. Ed Sheeran, of course, being a very vocal critic of for-profit ticket resale. Labour leader Keir Starmer says his party would pass new laws that would mean anyone reselling a ticket could only do so for 10% above the face value and would also restrict how many tickets anyone could sell for each show. He was quoted in The Sun as saying, "Access to music, art and theatre for hard-working Brits can be at the mercy of ruthless ticket touts driving up prices. Hours spent refreshing ticket resale websites only to pay through the nose to see an artist you love is frustrating and unfair."
Now, this commitment from Labour to new ticket touting laws follows the relaunch last year of the anti-touting fanfare campaign, which has been run by managers and promoters and artists and agents in the UK industry. And when they relaunched that campaign last year, for the first time, they actually called for an outright ban of for-profit ticket resale in the UK, basically looking to introduce into the UK a similar law as already exists in Ireland. Labour's plan, which was introduced this week, doesn't go quite that far. It's not an all-out ban. It's actually more like the law that was introduced in Australia, or specifically in New South Wales, with this price cap. That said, despite not being a complete outright ban, it would still have a significant impact on the second ticketing marketplace here in the UK. That market is already regulated to an extent under UK law. A number of newer regulations have been introduced over the last 10, 15 years, in no small part because of campaigning by groups like Fanfare. Also in Parliament, the Labour MP Sharon Hodgson has been very vocal on this and pushing for more regulation and more rules. But last year, the government said We've introduced more regulations, and that is it, despite the Competition and Markets Authority recommending a bunch of new rules be introduced. But the current position of the UK government is, no, we've done enough. We're not going to introduce any more regulation. And that was what prompted the Fanfare campaign to basically do a relaunch and make bigger, bolder demands.
So Labour's proposals would provide that extra regulation. And as well as the price cap, there would also be the new rule that restricts how many tickets any one person can sell for any one show. And that would be linked to the maximum number of tickets that any one person could buy from the primary ticket seller. Ticket resale platforms would also be accountable for the accuracy of information about the tickets they list for sale. The restrictions on how many tickets a tout can sell for each show might actually become law sooner, because the House of Lords on Wednesday approved a proposed amendment to the Digital Markets, Competition and Consumers Bill, which would introduce some extra ticket touting rules, although not a price cap. And although passed in the Lords, that amendment also needs to go back to the House of Commons for approval, where it could be scuppered given the government's current position.
For listeners outside the UK, we do have a general election happening at some point this year. It could still be as soon as May, but I think lots of people are expecting it to be in the autumn, probably in November time. But most people are assuming slash hoping, or I'm editorialising now. How many Conservative voters do we have listening to Setlist? Okay, let's not say hoping. Let's say most people are assuming that Labour are going to win the next general election in the UK, which is why their position on stuff like this is more important. Because, yeah, despite this amendment in the House of Lords, because the current government's position is we've done enough regulation, it doesn't feel like anything is going to change this side of the general election. But if we do have a Labour government later in the year, then fingers crossed, given what's been said this week, these changes should be coming in. Now, Stuart Camp, who is Ed Sheeran's manager, has commented on both the Labour Party's commitment as well as this court case that you mentioned that's been happening in the Leeds Crown Court. And lots of people in the music industry have been commenting on all of this. But Ed Sheeran has been particularly vocal on this. You may remember on one of his tours, his promoter Kilimanjaro did a victims of Viagogo desk at the shows. So basically, if you bought your tickets on Viagogo, you went to the desk, they sold you a replacement ticket at face value and then told you how to reclaim what you paid via Viagogo. So they have been particularly proactive on trying to stop people touting tickets to Ed Sheeran's shows. In terms of Labour's new commitment, Stuart Camp, Ed Sheeran's manager, said the impact of these policies should be monumentally positive and help to reset the UK's live music market for the benefit of artists and their audiences. Meanwhile, what's been happening in Leeds Crown Court in recent weeks was a case against two people connected to a former ticket touting operation that was called TQ Tickets, and they were found guilty of fraudulent trading this week. We won't go into any great details about what that case involved, although we have been covering it in the CMU Daily. You can check it out on the website. But basically, prosecutors said that the company ran a scheme to circumvent restrictions put in place by official ticket sellers using corrupted students and fictional identities to buy tickets from primary sites. Kilimanjaro actually gave evidence as part of that trial. So again, proving that Kilimanjaro and Ed Sheeran's team are very proactive on this. And in terms of the judgment in the court, Stuart Camp said that the ruling sets an important precedent in the live entertainment industry.
But that's all we've got time for on this week's Setlist. We'll be back with another episode next week, and you can keep up with all the latest music industry news every day at completemusicupdate.com.